SMQB is a special episode 157, your baseball only extravaganza. We've got nothing but baseball, with tomorrow being the greatest day of the year, opening day 2024. We are not going to play the usual game of just going through every prediction and setting up records and all that stuff, because that is boring. But we're going to just talk about some storylines. We're going to get a quick pod in here just to talk about the season. Pope, why don't you lead us off? What do you, are you wearing Braves or Rangers or Dodgers?
I'm not wearing Dodgers, I can tell you that. Oh, I've got my defending.
Won't be by the end of the year. I'm guessing you will be by the end of the year.
Defending world champion Texas Rangers garb on, with my brand new spanking SMQB's podcast hat. Thanks, House. You know, I guess what's going to be interesting is I'm looking at the AL West, obviously. It's to me, it's the more most important division. Is what are the Astros going to do this year? I mean, they just picked up Josh Hader. They're seven times in defending AL West champions. But they're getting older, and you know, is this are they in the last couple of years of their dynasty? And you got Seattle.
By the way, just to put a quick point on that, because that's an unbelievable seven in a row.
Yep,
the Braves were 14 in a row.
Were the Braves 14 or 8?
No, 14 divisions in a row.
Yeah.
So the Astros are halfway there,
and they're not going to make 14.
No.
They're not going to make 8, but I digress. Seattle was within 2 games last year of winning the division, is coming on strong. And so, you know, the Rangers, even though they won the World Series, they didn't win the division last year. And they're going to have to, tread water until they potentially can get Scherzer or DeGrom or both back in their rotation. I'm interested in what do the Astros do? Can they defend their West as their team gets older?
All right. Rooster, what do you got?
Well, you know, I always say that it would be great for baseball if some of the great teams from the past, like the A's, the Orioles, the Pirates, and the Reds, become good again. So this year, I really have my eyes on the Orioles. I think the Orioles are in a good position to take a step forward from the great year they had last year. They've got this kid on their team, Jackson Holliday, second baseman, son of Matt Holliday, who was the number one pick in the 2022 draft. And they're playing that game where they try to manipulate his service time by sending him back down to the minors right before the season starts. I hope that doesn't backfire, but I'm looking forward to when they call him up. They've got him at second base with Gunnar Henderson at shortstop. They have this young, double play combo up the middle, and they still got Adley Rutschman. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Rutschman. Yeah.
Great young, probably the best young catcher in baseball. And they picked up Corbin Burns in their starting rotation. So I see the Orioles as the favorite to win the East, and I'll end it there, but I'm really looking forward to seeing that young team become great again. And it's a shame that Peter Angelos won't be alive to see it.
Well, a lot of people in Baltimore wouldn't say that it's a shame that he's not around to see it, because they didn't think he was the best owner in the world. Today, by the way, the major league owners did approve the sale of the Orioles. Now, the Angelos family is holding on to a big chunk of the team, is my understanding, but Rubenstein is the new owner of the team. And Rooster, I think you nailed it. I mean, you talk about teams to be championship team, you got to be strong up the middle, and that's the catcher and your, and then your shortstop and your second baseman. That's your defense and center field too. And it looks like the O's are going to be strong up the middle for really a good amount of time, assuming they keep everybody together. And in baseball, you generally can keep people together for a pretty long time. So, and I think you're right. I mean, Corbin Burns, that's a massive signing. I think with all the Ohtani and Yamamoto stuff, that kind of was a little under the radar, I feel like. So
it was.
You know, it's, of course, it is. You can't say Baltimore without recognizing that opening day for the O's is, you know, in the shadow of the tragedy yesterday with the Dolly ship crashing into the Francis Scott Key Bridge and collapsing it, and the six deaths and the damage that's going to happen to that city from from an economy standpoint. So hopefully opening day will lighten the mood a little bit. But it is obviously that city's dealing with a big tragedy right now. But I think it's a good take, Rooster. I like that. House, what do you got for us? Uh-oh.
It's frozen.
He's got an El Presidente for us.
Now we got him.
Yeah. Sorry for the delay. I'm on a scouting mission in the Dominican Republic looking for the next great Major League shortstop. But
check the jails. you might find someone with promise, I've heard.
You know, I just want to say as a quick follow-up to Rooster, Matt Holliday is on record as being none too pleased about this manipulation of his son, Jackson Holliday. And, you know, he was quoted on a radio show, I think yesterday or the day before, that, you know, the kid did everything that he needed to do. And I think they're tucking this one away. I hope things go well, and I hope this young organization keeps it together for a long time. But that is a rough way to start the party for the kid. And yeah. I don't like any of these manipulation games. But anyway, I think we are at the beginning of maybe, I don't know, 3-5-7 year Titanic battle between the Dodgers and the Braves. These lineups, the way in which they're stacked, how young they are, it's hard to see that if they are injury-free and full throttle, it's hard to see any of the rest of the National League really keeping up with them. They've been postseason the last couple of years. But for me, as much as it pains me to see the Phillies trying to play catch-up with them, I think these two teams are just what I want to see is if the Phillies, of course, don't make it all the way. I want to see how that plays out beginning this year and beyond. What one of the things that will make that story interesting is this change of position of Mookie Betts. I don't know if it shocked you guys and shocked me. I don't see Mookie as a shortstop. And I think as manager Robert says, it's permanent for now. So who knows what that means? But it's hard for me to see him there. Speaking of being strong up the middle. So that's another subplot to that storyline with the Dodgers. The Dodgers Braves in the beginning of this battle that I think is going to go on. We're going to be talking about it on our pod year after year in the preview of each year. As who's got the edge now between them? That's what I want to see going for this year.
Let me jump on that. In the next storyline is can the teams that win over 100 games and are dominant in the regular season, can they figure out some way to survive? You know, the division series. I mean, they, you know, Dodgers, Braves, Orioles, all over 100 wins last year. They all lost in the first round. What can they do something to survive? Because I agree with you, House. I think Braves, Dodgers, I mean, you know, I'll preview it. I've got them in my LCS, but they got to get past the pesky D-backs or Phillies or whoever else. And Padres. For whatever reason, these guys can't figure it out. So that's a good storyline to watch. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, can they position their pitchers? I mean, what can they do so that they don't have that problem getting into the LCSs.
The Dodgers remind me of Yankees in a lot of ways. The Dodgers have a much better offense than every team in baseball, but their starting pitching rotation is a bunch of older, often injured guys. And that's their problem. They need a younger, healthier starting pitching rotation. The Braves have it. The Phillies have it now. The D-backs just signed Jordan Montgomery for a year. That's the Dodgers' Achilles heel is starting pitching right now in the playoffs.
So this year, though,
Kershaw will he factor in?
Be good during the year.
That's one way that they can advance in the playoffs. Keeping him out of the starting pitching.
Yeah. Right. Wow. That's a hot take.
Well, let's see how Yamamoto does.
Yeah. He didn't look great in his first game, right?
No, he did not.
So
they need Ohtani to be in the rotation at some point this year.
Well,
that's not happening. They've shut him down for the
year. Like not even in the postseason.
No,
I don't think he's pitching this year. So
assuming he's playing.
Let me give you a couple of, oh, by the way, Milk, who's not here, he did send in two predictions. Well, I guess it's really one prediction and one question that he wanted to look forward to.
Let me guess. One has to do with the Rays and the Yankees.
He did predict that the Rays would continue to whoop the Yankees ass all season long. he did make that prediction. And then he did want to know at what point in the season will Pope have to throw away his brand new Rangers gear and go and move back to the Braves. So
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing that Pope doesn't have any Astros gear.
I know.
I mean, he could claim the state, right?
Low.
I am in Houston right now.
Yeah. It's a matter of time. Just a matter of time, guys.
Yeah. All right, well, let me give you a couple names that I think are worth watching this year. We said a couple of them already, but I think that the players that I'm really curious about are, of course, Acuna, who just continues to do crazy stuff. I mean, Ohtani, but geez, maybe not for the reasons that I thought a week ago would be Ohtani, but still, you got to watch him. Yamamoto is another one, of course, very curious to see. I have a feeling we're going to be watching a lot of late night Dodgers games this year. Juan Soto in New York.
How about that? He's batting in front of Aaron Judge, Stanton, and Rizzo.
I saw someone said today that Will Judge and Soto both hit 50 home runs. And I don't think that's really Soto's game is home runs.
Yeah, left field porch there in Yankee Stadium, one of us could hit a ball that far.
That's true. I mean, listen, I am the president of the Juan Soto fan club, and House is probably the biggest detractor out there because he still likes to look at one statistic in baseball. But I think you're going to see how good this guy is. Even House won't be able to deny it. A couple other players worth watching. Mike Trout, who's got the headlines all to himself again without the surrounding talent. So
nobody's talking about the Angels doing anything.
No.
Yeah. I think no one's going to be talking about Mike Trout.
Well, sadly, it's hard not to talk about him because year in and year out, he's just one of the best and really one of the greats of all time.
Yeah, it's a painful career for us to watch.
I think what we could be talking about is whether the Angels move him at the trading deadline and finally capture the treasure chest that they can get from, because they're running out of time to do that. And I know how beloved he is to that franchise, but what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? You have nothing to build around him anymore. And I just think the window has closed for the Angels to do something with Trout. So why not get a haul for him?
Well, why not just go cross town to the Dodgers? Because, you know, they have an unlimited budget.
Well, it is interesting. You know, in some ways, they did try. I mean, they obviously had Ohtani, and they brought Anthony Rendon in, where he was, just short of being an MVP of the World Series. when he left and went there, and he's never done anything since he got there. He's made it clear
he intends to keep on not
doing nothing. Right. Yeah, I know. I think that's right. As bad as the Nationals contract was with Strasburg after the series, letting Rendon go maybe turned out to be a good thing. Yep. You know, the thing about Trout that's interesting is everybody talks about they're not winning and why is he staying there? And it's just such a far cry from, you know, we're oftentimes talking about how players don't stay with a team anymore and how they bounce around and there's no loyalty. And this guy's loyal and we all can't wait to see him get out of there. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. A couple other players, though. I think Trey Turner is going to be MVP of the National League this year. I think the way he finished the season after the standing ovation in Philadelphia, that's the real Trey Turner.
Let's go.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I do like me some Trey. So
I think Mookie and Juan Soto are the two MVPs.
Well, Mookie's a good bet, except for he's playing shortstop now. So that's, yeah. You know, how's that going to affect him? So, and then a couple other guys to watch. Julio Rodriguez, he could be the AL MVP this year. And what's De La Cruz, Ellie going to do? Is he going to turn into a serious everyday superstar, or just are we just going to see these highlights of him with a laser of an arm and you know, it's like track star speed? So those are a couple of the players that I'm interested in keeping an eye on this year.
Obviously, I'm interested in looking at Wyatt Langford.
He,
regardless of what team he plays on, he was drafted last year and is already on the opening day roster for a major league team after just ripping the cover off the ball. Spring training, hit 365 with power numbers. It'll be interesting to follow him. And, of course, Evan Carter, who had a great postseason, is a rookie again this year because he came up after September. And let's see if he can continue what he did.
You know, last year we talked a lot about Ellie De La Cruz on the upstart Reds, but the other young guy they had, Matt McClain, had a better year. He's starting out the season on the injured list, unfortunately. But I hope the Reds continue their uptick.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite some time since they've won a series, a postseason series. So, do you guys know who I'm trying to find his name here? I had it a minute ago. All right, I'm gonna get a name for you, but who's got something else they want to talk? They're looking for.
You know, looking at the pitchers ahead, if you can believe that Spencer Strider and Zach Wheeler, who were already two of the most dominant pitchers in the National League, decided to add pitches to their arsenal. And already in spring training, they've been shown to be pretty deadly pitches. Strider added a curveball. Wheeler added a splitter. I mean, it is really fun to watch these guys take the mound.
Battle. We're losing you.
Oh, you guys hear me?
Yep. Yeah, you're in and out.
Sorry. Well, I was just saying Strider and Wheeler.
He likes Strider and Wheeler.
I think it's. I'm kind of curious about the fact that the National League is so much stronger this year than the American League. You've got teams like the Dodgers, but also you've got teams like the Phillies, the D-backs, with really solid, and the Braves, solid pitching staffs. Other than the Astros. In the American League, I don't see a team that's just stacked in the starting pitching rotation. You know, the Yankees are starting out the year with Garrett Cole on the injured list. The Orioles have a pretty good staff. Rangers are just like the Yankees. They have a lot of big name, older pitchers who are hurt. But you get to the National League and you've got the Padres, the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Phillies, Braves, and Dodgers have all maybe not the Dodgers, but the rest of them all improved their pitching staffs in the offseason, where with the D-backs just picking up Jordan Montgomery yesterday. There's some tough.
That's a team I'm curious about. I'm really curious to see what the Diamondbacks do this year. I mean, you know, some people thought last year they were a year ahead of schedule. And you know, they overperformed at the end of the year. I mean, they went on a crazy run to get into the playoffs, and then they were that classic team that was just on fire going in and just couldn't lose. So do they keep that up, or do they do some of the law of averages kick in and they have a little bit of a down year? I'll be curious to see how they do.
So I asked our veteran baseball nerd, actually nerd, what were his top stories just to, in the preview of the pod. And he says, do the D-backs have the best rotation in baseball now? I'm not sure about that, but they've definitely added by getting Jordan Montgomery.
Well, they have, they have Zach Gallen, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's hurt, and Monty. That's a pretty good staff.
Yeah.
And then they've, and you know, Chris, you were saying, is do they come back to the mean? You know, they went on that run with a bunch of young players. It's not like they were some established players who were playing above their past performances. Corbin Carroll is still going to be good. Zach Gallen is still going to be good. I think they're going to continue to improve.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. All right, here's the name I want to throw at you. Do you guys know who Ethan Salas is?
No.
Nope.
Ethan Salas is a 17-year-old catcher in the Padres organization. And don't be surprised to see him in the majors this year. That's the big question, is will he be in the majors at age 18? He is probably one of the best defensive catchers around already. And in the minors last year, he had a 248, 331, 421 slash line at age 17. So one of the top international prospect signing. I'd be really interested to see if he makes it into the majors this year. So that's another guy to kind of keep an eye on. If you hear him coming up, think about that. What were you doing at age 17?
Yeah, right. And that team also is stacked, right? They've got good pitching staff with Darvish, Musgrove, and now Dylan Cease. They picked up Michael King and Johnny Brito from the Yankees, both solid 4-5 pitchers. And they have, you know, murderer's row, just like the Dodgers on offense.
Yep.
You know, one thing that we're not talking about that was like one of the main storylines last year is how are the new rules going to affect everybody?
I mean, yeah, well, there's very little this year.
I know, but we've just basically, you know, we changed baseball, I think, in a significant way, certainly from a stat way going forward last year. But by all accounts, everybody embraced it. And you know, there's no more controversy. We're moving forward with bigger bases, pitch clock, everything else.
You are down from 5 to 4 mound visits this year.
I think that's not a bad thing.
Unless you get to the ninth inning and you will get it. If you've already gone through 4, you will have an extra one only to be used in the ninth inning if you need it. So that's another rule change. All right, a couple other things. Some milestones this year. You don't have too many big ones to look out for this year, like we did last year with football sitting his 700th home run was the biggest one, I think. But Kershaw is 56 strikeouts away from 3,000. Paul Goldschmidt is 91 hits away from 2,000. And both McCutchen and Rizzo, well, McCutchen's 1 and Rizzo's 5 homers away from 300. So those are really the biggest milestones to keep an eye out for this year. And then something that I think a couple years ago we would all thought was kind of gimmicky, but has turned out to be really great, is the Field of Dreams game. And this year, the game's going to be played on June 20th as part of the Juneteenth festivities for the league. The Giants and Cardinals are going to play a game at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
The former home of the Birmingham Black Barons. It's the first professional team Willie Mays played for in 1948.
Wow.
So that's a special game to circle on the calendar for this season, I think. That'll be a lot of fun. What else? You guys looking forward to anything else? You want to get some picks in here?
Let's do some picks.
All right, we're doing we're just going to do LCSs and World Series. And I think, does somebody have houses? We lost his.
It's in the chat.
It is. All right, let's go with it.
What's he got? Phil's?
All right. He's got Phillies, Dodgers, Orioles, Astros, Phillies versus Orioles in the World Series. And to the surprise of no one, the ultimate homer has picked the Phillies as the champs.
I'd expect nothing less.
Yeah. Milk sent me his. Milk said that for his predictions this year, he thinks that that it's going to be the Rockies versus the Nationals in the NLCS. And in the ALCS, he thought it was going to be the White Sox and the A's.
Boy,
and he's going to take the A's versus the Nationals in the World Series with the Nationals winning the whole thing. That's what he told me.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow. I thought that too.
I think he's been following Little League baseball a little too closely.
Pope, what do you got?
Well, I'll see you on the homerism. So I've got...
Oh, boy.
I got the Rangers and the Orioles in the ALCS. I got the Braves and Dodgers in the NLCS. And yes, I do have the Rangers and the Braves in the World Series with my Texas Rangers defending the first time since the Yankees in the late 90s World Series champions.
Against your Atlanta Braves.
Former.
All right. Okay. I'll go next. I'm going to take the Rays versus the Orioles in the LCS. And then on the other side, I'm going to take the obvious, the Dodgers versus the Braves. And I'm calling the Dodgers over, let's go with the Rays in the World Series.
Whoa. Ooh. Wow.
Wow. Give All right. I've got the Orioles and the Astros in the LCS, with the Astros coming out on top. I have the Dodgers and the Braves also in the NL. And I just look at, like, I really believe that starting pitching wins World Series. This is the Braves starting pitching staff as of opening day. Max Fried, Spencer Strider, Charlie Morton, Chris Sale, and Reynaldo Lopez. If Chris Sale stays healthy, oh my God, is that a hell of a pitching staff.
Massive if.
That massive is a massive if it is. But even without him, it's a pretty good pitching staff.
So
got Pope's, the Braves over Pope's the Astros.
Teams, Pope's teams are relying on DeGrom, Scherzer, and Sandel.
Yeah.
Those are Braves will be fine without Sale.
Those are some oft-injured old guys.
No, he's got, what is it, Ovalati or what is his name? The guy used to be on the Red Sox.
Eovaldi.
He's our opening day starter tomorrow.
Yeah. See, now he's a good pitcher, but how long is he going to hold up? Just never know.
He'll be fine.
All right, so finish it out, Rooster. Who do you have in the series?
I've got the Braves beating the Astros.
Okay. In
the World Series.
All right, my Braves.
Oh boy. Your Braves. There we go. That's a good spot to end on. All right. And let's just, this is opening day, greatest day of the year.
Everybody
enjoy it. Unfortunately, anybody going to any opening day games? Pope, you going? Oh, you're in trial.
I'm in trial. Although the Astros will be opening up, I think at 11 a.m. tomorrow, right across from the courthouse.
I think the game started. I think they all start at like 3 o'clock. Tomorrow.
Yeah, you could catch the tail end of it.
Yeah, 3:05 is what I see. Tomorrow.
Houston.
So Houston is at 8:10 against the Yankees on Apple TV.
Ah.
So all right. Well, Nats are away, but I'll be there on Monday for the home opener. Hey, until then, you guys have a good week.
You too.
Go Nats.
Play ball.
Root, root. Play ball. See you guys. The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.